Richard Grasso's forced resignation as chairman and CEO of the New York Stock Exchange this past week seems to put an end to an embarrassing episode in the big board's history, and it possibly spares the exchange's board of directors from having to answer further why they were willing to pay as much as $140 million toward Grasso's retirement. Such outsized compensation packages are hardly uncommon in business here in the United States or overseas. This past week, the Dutch retail giant Ahold faced a similar executive pay scandal, while it also dealt with persistent claims of accounting problems. Ahold's CEO will give up a guaranteed severance package and link future bonuses to his job performance rather than to contractual agreements. But the company's board chairman last week announced he will resign his post. James Surowiecki writes the financial page for The New Yorker, and he's on the line from New York. Hi, James.
Hi.
You know, there seems to be a real striking contrast between how the New York Stock Exchange is dealing with a scandal over extravagant executive pay and how a European company is dealing with a similar situation. In one, the guy getting the money loses his job, and then in the other, the guy who agrees to pay the money loses his job. So what does this suggest to you about the differences between American and European corporate cultures?
Well, I would be a little hesitant to extrapolate too widely between the two situations, because the New York Stock Exchange, I think we know, is a relatively unique institution, even in America. To begin with, it's not, strictly speaking, a for-profit corporation in the same way that other companies are. And I think that the mix of regulatory and sort of corporate responsibility that the exchange has something to do with the backlash against Grasso. On the other hand, I think it is quite extraordinary that up to this point, at least, the board of directors of the New York Stock Exchange has gotten away with it. They are the ones who paid Grasso, and yet, you know, in some way, the guy who took the money is coming away as the villain.
So what did Richard Grasso do wrong? I mean, as you say, the New York Stock Exchange Compensations Committee agreed to give him a big pile of money, and all he did was say yes.
From a PR perspective, you know, he ended up looking very bad. I think that he, in some way, you could argue, kind of forgot about the curious position that the exchange has and started to think of himself as very much like, say, an executive of a Wall Street firm, someone who deserved to be compensated along those lines, even though, you know, I think to any reasonable person, he was grossly overpaid. On the other hand, the really curious part about this is that it's not exactly clear that he was playing incredible hardball with the compensation committee in order to get this money. To me, the really striking thing about the story was, you know, it was the $140 million package, but then there was this extra $48 million that we found out about a few days later. And when news of that broke, Grasso's response was, well, I'll just give it back, which I think suggests that the compensation committee was not really negotiating very hard with him in the first place.
In 2001 and 2002, there were some big accounting scandals. And then last year, the Sarbanes-Oxley corporate reforms legislation was passed. Has American business learned anything?
I think they've learned certain things. I think some corporations are being more transparent. You know, more corporations now are expensing options. To me, one of the most interesting pieces of news the last couple of weeks is that Jeffrey Immelt, who is the head of General Electric, most of his pay is now going to be indexed in some way to the performance of his company versus other companies in the industry or in the stock market as a whole. That's actually a really important change because it keeps a CEO from just benefiting from sort of a general rising tide. So I think that's a sign that certain things are different. On the other hand, you know, American business remains this incredibly clubby, cozy place in a lot of ways, and or at least American executive suites do. And I think that's the thing that was, you know, really so appalling about the Grasso story is you just got the sense of, you know, a small group of guys, many of whom sat on each other's boards of directors, you know, sitting around and saying, well, why not, you know, let's just give Dick, you know, $140 million. What difference does it make? It's not really our money to begin with, so, you know, we might as well give him a nice little present. And that's, I think, a sign that too much is still the same.
James Surowiecki writes the financial page for The New Yorker magazine, and he joined us from New York. James, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
This morning, the New York Stock Exchange named former Citicorp chairman and CEO John S. Reed as interim chairman. Reed, 64, served as the top executive of Citicorp, the world's largest financial services company, for 16 years until his retirement in 2000. Reed begins work at the big board on September 30th.